This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show. My name is Eric Peterson. I'm here with my good buddy Danny Jordan.
Yo.
We got John Ewing over in the corner.
Ewing.
On the ones and twos of the...
Wait, no, he's threes and fours.
He is the threes and fours. Ones and twos. We got Chris Sisley live from Brooklyn.
Yes.
All right, folks, we're back. This is our penultimate episode of this season.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of crazy.
Can you believe that?
Crazy.
How did we make it? Episode 19...
Of season three.
We are officially 1 week out from Christmas Day.
2023. Because some people might listen to this in 2029.
Which is wild.
It is crazy.
Because we get a lot of DMs and emails who have been like, oh, I just found your show yesterday. And it's because when you're in the moment, you're like, okay, this is Christmas this year.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think like, oh, in 5 years, someone might discover this podcast and fall in love with this show. Yeah. It's pretty... wild.
Kind of cool.
And cool and awesome. And it's just this amazing time we live in where you can put something out into the world and someone might find it all these years later.
Yeah.
They'll find it when you and I are like 75.
Right, yeah.
And we sound so young.
Well, it's like,
and fresh.
It's a cow Christmas. You know, like I doubt that they ever thought that that would, you know, get a resurgence. But
and because of you,
there we go.
Here we are.
We brought it back.
You did.
Okay, I'm so excited about our list today. This is a fun one.
This was an audible list. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit, because you and I originally had like top five ways to enjoy the week of Christmas was originally the idea.
Yeah.
But then we put it out to our Patreon peeps to let them choose what our countdown was going to be a couple weeks ago, which ended up being top five ways to get into the holiday spirit, which
and
felt
kind of similar.
Similar, you know? So like if you are sitting here, you're like, oh, well, I want to know how to get into the vibe of Christmas week.
Go back
and listen to that episode and you'll be set. So we called an audible last minute. I text Eric as I was flying back from New York and I was like, hey, what do you think about changing the theme? But you were having your party.
Yep.
And so I didn't.
I don't think I responded until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I was like, I guess
we're doing
a new one.
Yeah.
But this one is one of those fun ones where we really sort of just get
to be
silly and fun. And I think people like this.
Yes. So this is going to be the top five Santa sleigh replacements.
Ooh, I like that description.
Santa sleigh replacements. Is there another S that would be a...
Substitutes.
Santa sleigh substitutes. That's better. Yeah. The triple S.
I like that. S3.
Yes. So we're saying, let's say Santa, for some reason, the sleigh is out of commission. Whether it's in the shop, getting worked on, it got broke, whatever it is.
Right.
Santa needs a new way to get around town and the world to
do his job. Yeah.
We're going to give you some alternates, which we think are
pretty
good.
I was having so much fun putting this list together. Because, you know, I think out of the gates, you go to like some vessels that seem...
Sure.
Like low-hanging fruit. And my creative process is, I don't know if you're like this, is I don't like to say no to myself. So like even if something like pops in my head that I don't necessarily think will make my list, I'll still write it.
Sure, write it down.
Because it keeps sort of the creative juices flowing, which, fun fact, is the way that Billy Joel writes songs.
I found this
out from my friend Tom Baylor, who we've talked about, I think, on the show before, who wrote She's Out of My Life for Michael Jackson. I think Billy Joel was on We Are the World or something. They collaborated at one point. He was watching Billy write. And he was like, so what is your style? He goes, I never cross out words.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll write a version of the song. I turn the page. I write it again. He goes, and by the time I get to maybe like the sixth version and I'm trying to figure out what word would go great here, he goes, oftentimes I'll flip back to the first version and I find it
and
there.
It's there, yeah.
Because he believes that like a hard line is basically like a wall.
Shutting down
creativity. So I have some, I had a stream of consciousness that I put together here and some I think are going to make the list. Some maybe this might have to become our bonus episode for this last week. So I'm excited to share it with people later on this episode. Yeah.
We should tell people to follow us on the socials.
We should. We should demand.
Demand that you got to follow at Christmas Countdown Show, all one word, on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. You can also find our full episodes on youtube.com/countdownnetwork.
Yeesh.
Make sure you follow us on Patreon. You can get a bunch of bonus episodes, which is really fun.
Yeah.
There will be 10 bonus episodes for this season.
Plus like 20 other ones from previous seasons as well. So you're just, it's going to be like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. And you can also, do they subscribe on Apple?
You become a paid subscriber. So if you're listening on Apple right now, if you go to our show page, there's going to be a banner at the top that says try for free for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have anything going on right now, it's the week of Christmas, you're off of work, theoretically, you could tap that button right now. Immediately, you get access to all the bonus episodes over the next 2-3 days.
Yep.
Binge it. Cancel your subscription.
There you go.
You got them all for free,
baby.
Right. Work the
system. That was very Miracle on 34th Street of you. Because you were like, you didn't look at the bottom line and say, well, no, we need more subscribers for more money. You were trying to be in the holiday spirit.
That's what we're all about here.
And giving good advice. And I thought that's very Miracle on 34th Street of you. You know how like the Santa says, well, we don't have that toy, but across the street you can get it for $12.99 or whatever, you know?
That's what I believe, you know? And if you want to continue to support the show and the work we're doing here, great. But if you just want to get the episodes and get out of town, that's fine too.
Live your truth.
Totally cool with that. But,
live your truth.
But, you know, we'd prefer for you to stay around longer. Yeah,
definitely. And also, when you're there on those platforms, make sure you rate and review.
Please.
Because A, we like to read them on the show. It also helps us know how we're doing. Yeah. It helps boost the show. It's all good things.
Yeah, by boost the show, we mean boost our self-esteem.
That's right.
Because I've been feeling a little down in the dumps lately, folks, and I could really use some kind words. Now, we love it. It's a way for us to find out what you like about the show. If there's something you don't like about the show, we welcome negative feedback as well.
We haven't gotten much.
We did get one from somebody in Great Britain.
What they
recently
say.
It wasn't like super negative. Chris, are you able to pull this up? Because it what's interesting about Apple is like when I go into the app, I can only see reviews that have been left by people in the United States.
Okay.
But there's this website called Chartable where you go there and it will show you every review that's been left for you all around the world. And somebody from the UK recently gave us 4 golden stars.
Oh boy.
And I really liked
it. Did it have to do with our accents?
Probably mostly. But I like the way they described what we do too much of. Chris, are you able to pull that up and read it to us?
I am. This was from Spurs Hater on Apple Podcasts.
Christmas Countdown Hater.
I'm assuming it's a football reference.
Tottenham Spurs.
But it's, first of all, the title is Too Much Waffle.
Too Much Waffle. That's what,
Too Much Waffle.
Is that a British term for like too much talking? Like you're waffling too much?
I guess.
Sounds like it.
All right.
He says, way too much babbling prior to the top tens. Other than that, it's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Succinct.
So doesn't like when we talk to each other?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's how we set it up. And if you just want the countdowns, then just fast forward a little bit.
Skip ahead to like 45 minutes into the episode.
Yeah.
Get past the waffling. But if you're a fan of, maybe he's a French toast fan. Maybe that is what's going on here.
He doesn't
and
like
maybe
waffles.
If we talked more about pancakes, crepes, French toast and scrambled eggs.
Then he'd be in.
He'd be like, finally, they started talking about my other favorite breakfast foods.
I love it.
But yeah, we will read any kind of review as long as
we have a review to read today.
We do. Let's get to it.
Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
Did you read the last one?
I read the last
one. Okay, then I'll do this one. So this one is coming to us. This was an email that was sent, you know, because we always tell people you can't leave a review. You can rate on Spotify and I think other platforms, but you can't review there. So if you're on that platform, just email us, kringle@christmascountdownshow.com, and you might have your review read on the show. And this one is coming to us from Jenny. This is a long one, folks, so buckle up. A lot of waffle in this one. Jenny says, happiest seasons, greetings to you both. I'm in my second season listening to you guys on my drives around town, doing the parent shuttle of 3 busy kids, holiday shopping, etc. I have to say, you really helped to brighten my days here up in Alaska, where currently we are getting maybe 5 hours of light.
Whoa.
That's intense. This year, the holidays are feeling a bit more stressed as we recently got very unexpected news that my husband is getting laid off. Oh, sorry, Jenny. Not wanting to spoil the holidays for our 3 kids, I try to keep up the spirit for our family, but honestly, I've been feeling exhausted and just wanting to skip the whole thing. Then, your episode of How to Get into the Holiday Spirit came on my podcast feed.
Yay.
I'm getting chills right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing such a bright light to the world during this time of year. You really lifted my spirits.
That's really sweet.
As a fellow Midwesterner living
far... What's up?
What?
I said Midwest. What's up?
Oh, what's up? I was like, did I say it wrong? Living far away from my childhood home and having memories of big Christmas gatherings, I tend to miss those every year. But now, living in Alaska, where it truly feels like living Narnia at Christmas, I cannot imagine being somewhere else at this time of year. Once again, thank you for such a heartfelt podcast. I look forward to every episode, and even my teenage kids, who no longer have the same magical feeling about Christmas and are often more like Grinch than Buddy, are enjoying it. Now that is a win. Merry Christmas to you and your families. I look forward to many more seasons. Jenny from Eagle River, Alaska.
Jenny, thank you so much.
Jenny.
That was a great email to get. That's going to brighten my day.
Yeah. When Jenny said in there, you know, that you bring such a bright light to the world.
Yeah.
This time of year. I think it's interesting that connects with me because I think back to when I was like in my 20s and, you know, I was, frankly speaking, you know, I think I was more, as they say in not the biz, but like in things like I was more on fire for God. Like at that point in time in my life, I think I had not navigated as many hardships. My faith had not been tested. And I remember I would always say that like my prayer for myself is that I just wanted to be a bright light in the world.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted to be. Like that was my prayer. And so to know that through this show that we are being
helping
that
people.
For people really is a gift. And it's a reminder that what we're doing matters and that it's important. And thank you, Jenny, for your honesty and, you know, sending our best to you and your husband that, you know, you know, often they say what, you know, oftentimes a door closes and another one opens, you know, sort of situation is that I think in life we constantly have these like points in life where we feel like, you know, that the road is like getting really, really rough. And you're like, no, I was supposed to keep going on that path. That's where I was meant to go. And then you get diverted onto this other path and it takes you so much further than maybe that other path would have, or that it's so much brighter and you have so much more love and joy in your life. So we're just, you know, sending our best to you guys as you navigate this challenging time, knowing that there are definitely bright days ahead for you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Jenny. And that's our review.
I love that.
We also have some mail.
Okay.
You know, this is the mad dash to the finish line for this season. And so we've been getting a lot of packages. So we're trying to spread them out. I think we're going to have a bunch that we'll end up having to open on the finale, but we at least wanted to open one. And this one, just like that last review, is coming to us from far away, a place where it is much colder than it is here in Southern California. This is coming.
It looks
to,
like it's from Canada, looking at the wrapping paper.
The buffalo print.
The buffalo print.
Feels very much like the
it's
Royal
like you're
Mounties.
You're going to open it and it's going to go, here's a gift, eh?
It's going to be like milk in a bag.
Yeah.
And a bunch of maple leaves. That's what this is going to be in a hockey puck. But this is coming to us from a longtime friend of the show. I believe this person listens with their mom as well, because I think she had shared in the Patreon that they got like matching sweaters, like our merch, which is really, really cool. This is Michelle, nice. Who lives up in Canada. You were totally right about that. You nailed it. Now, I do know what's inside of it because this has one of those like, you know, declaration forms on the outside. But I don't know what kind of version of that is.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is this is wrapped in wrapping paper, which is really, really neat. So let's crack this open. I got to give it up for Michelle because this has a lot of tape.
Yeah, I see. She did not leave any entry point.
No. Are you a big tape person? Like, do you love to just lather it up
with
tape?
I do a good amount of tape, but I always make sure to leave an entry point.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's got to be somewhere where you can just stick a finger in and rip. Yeah, get it started.
My dad is the king of no entry point whatsoever.
My dad used to do that too.
And I pointed it out like one time when I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And now like he prides himself on it. He goes, how about all that tape, huh? Now, as if a ton of tape on the wrapping paper wasn't enough.
Now we're into the box.
We're into the box. And this isn't scotch tape, folks. This is like legit.
Key.
You got a key? All right. Yeah. Let me poke into this thing. Now, I have to say, when we... You know, we're getting ready for this episode. I put this box in the bag.
Yeah.
And we both noticed that it sounded, hopefully this is not the case, but it sounded like there may have been
a lot of pieces.
Some pieces inside of here. So
let's hope it's supposed to be a lot of pieces.
Maybe Michelle sent us a puzzle. Maybe that's, that'd be a cool idea for, oh, this is smart. It's like packing peanuts.
Okay.
So I'm going to shake this for all the people to hear. So this is what we were hearing when we were moving the box around.
Yeah. Sounds like a broken
sounds like either a puzzle or a broken something. But what it is, look at these. They're these little pieces of cardboard that are like replacement packing peanuts.
Whoa.
And they're shaped like triangles, which, fun fact for all you non-geometry fans out there, the triangle is the strongest shape.
Yeah.
Which is why when you see bridges, they have like triangle shapes. That's so smart. I've never seen these before. I wonder if that's a Canadian thing.
It must be.
They care more about the environment than we do. all right, so there's a card in here as well. Do you want to read the card since I just did the review? Yeah.
All righty, here we go. I like on the back, they have a sticker that says Christmas Countdown Crew.
That's amazing. We need to make Christmas Countdown Crew specific stickers for the Patreon fam.
And merch.
Yeah. I'm in the crew or something like that. Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm getting in here.
All right, get in there. There we go.
Okay. Ooh, very beautiful card. It says season's greetings on it. Have a fun-filled holiday. And it says, Danny, Eric, Chris, and John.
Hey!
John, you're on the list. You made it. Last year, I wanted to send you guys an ornament, but I couldn't find the one.
Mm.
This year, I reached out on a regional social media group to ask for suggestions of locally made ornaments and got a ton of responses. Not only did that post connect me with a local artist, but it connected other people with beautiful ornaments, too. Here's a slice of Canada's beautiful East Coast for our merry hosts.
Aww.
Maybe next time I'll send some Canadian fries for your cultural Christmas celebration.
Ooh.
From Michelle. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
I'm so excited to see what it is.
All right. So there are two items in here. Looks like, are they the same? I think they're the same. So here, I'm going to pass one off to you. They're wrapped in bubble wrap here. I can't get over these little triangle packing peanut things.
I know,
those are
really
super,
cool.
Super smart.
All right. More tape.
Here we go.
We're dealing with more tape.
More tip. That's another thing my dad says, or does, is when he says tape, he doesn't say tape. He says tip.
That's funny.
He does that with a lot of words.
Does he do it on purpose?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like when he gets a reaction out of it once.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you just got to keep going back to the well, baby.
My dad says milk instead of milk.
We talked about And then we talked about crayons versus crayons.
Yeah, yeah.
Fridge versus refrigerator. All right.
Whoa.
Okay.
Is it the same one?
Okay. This
is so cool.
Awesome.
It says Merry Christmas from Nova Scotia. And it's got a little lobster.
The lobster.
And the waves, and it's all wood carved.
Dude.
That is really beautiful.
This is similar.
Michelle, this is so nice.
To the ornament that we got last year, the one with the bears on it.
Yeah.
That's like carved out of wood. And smell it. You can like smell the wood. And
oh, yeah.
I feel like you can smell the paint and the lacquer
like
on it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. This is a beautiful ornament. You know what the hardest thing is about getting these beautiful ornaments here for the show is that
not on our trees at home?
They're not on our trees at home.
Oh, no.
I debate at the end of every season, and this is only the second time I've done it, but I'm like, should I pack like a couple of my faves out and take them home?
Okay.
Oh, no, don't lose the Nova Scotia. But this is beautiful. Thank you, Michelle, so, so much. We are close to the finish line as Eric is climbing over his chair. That's okay.
Here we go.
And...
it's on.
For anyone who's watching this, you can see that Eric's back is fully turned to our cameras.
It's on the tree.
It's secured. Well, our trees are getting full, and so it's hard to find like a spot.
A good spot.
All right, I'm going to try to find a spot for mine here. That feels good up there.
Somebody sent us a bunch of those cow ornaments. Was that last year or was that this year?
I thought you bought a bunch of cow ornaments.
Did I buy them?
Yes.
I thought somebody sent
them. No, you
bought them. I bought
them
and then I gave some to you? Is that
you
what
never
happened?
Brought them in. You like teased it last year. You're like, oh, I bought a bunch of cow ornaments for our trees.
But they're all over my trees. They're spectacular. But I couldn't remember where they came from.
Season four.
There you go.
Bring them back for season four. But Michelle, thank you so much. Your ornaments look stunning on our trees.
Yes.
We are kind of in the final stretch right now. So, you know, if you wanted to, you could like overnight something to us,
sure.
I guess. Otherwise, I think we're going to have to wait till next year for more decor
ornaments,
and cards
and
all that sort of fun stuff. But to everyone who has mailed stuff to us so far this season, thank you. You can see if you're watching on YouTube, we have the cards like sprinkled all around the studio here. It really, it's a fun tradition that we started last year when we were in the space that, you know, when you say something like that, you don't know if anyone's going to respond.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm hopeful that people will send cards and ornaments, but like you all, not just, you know, the Christmas Countdown crew, but fans all around the world have just been so kind to send us these items and to write very, very kind messages to us. So just know that we appreciate it and we hold them dear to our hearts, and we will continue adding to the collection and keep decking out these trees as long as we're fortunate enough to keep doing the show.
Totally.
If you're looking to send something to us, you can easily do that. Just email us kringle@christmascountdownshow.com and we'll get you our P.O. box. Speaking of friends, we have a new friend who's going to be joining us here momentarily. We are so excited for this guest. This person, for those of you who are American Idol fans out there, you may remember her as being a top 10 finalist on the show a couple years back. She is also one of the stars of the brand new Hallmark movie, which is coming to Hallmark Channel on December 30th. Time for her to come home for Christmas. We are so thrilled to welcome to Christmas Countdown Show, Grace Lear. How are you, Grace?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're so good.
Hi, Grace. Hi. We're so happy to talk to you. And we like to be very, very upfront with our audience. Honesty and transparency and authenticity is number one. So we're going to tell everybody we actually recorded this interview with you
a few days ago,
didn't we?
We did.
And there was a power outage where we record, and when we came back, we lost the audio, and we were so bummed, and we were like, we got to have Grace on the show. So we are going to redo this interview, and we could not be happier to spend another few minutes with you, because you are a spectacular person, a spectacular talent, and we're just super stoked to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to getting into this film, Time to Come Home for Christmas? Because I know this is your acting debut. Yes. So have you ever done any kind of acting? Did you act in high school, or is this like fresh out the gate? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so this is my acting debut. You know, I've been singing in Nashville. Well, I've been singing since I was a little girl, since I was 6 years old. Moved to Nashville in 2017, and I've been doing the music thing. But this fell into my lap as a perfect opportunity. I have acted in, when I was a kid, I was in musicals, and I always loved being in front of a camera. I loved to entertain. I was the youngest of four, always annoying my siblings. Like, look at me, I'm going to put on a show for you guys. So I definitely have always like felt very comfortable with it, but this was my first ever time acting in a movie, like on set. And it was so new for me, so scary. I remember that first scene, but I did it and I'm so proud of it. And I want to keep doing it. I think this is something that I could definitely add to my thing. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned musical theater. Do you have like a couple of favorite musicals that like you've either been in or like are your go-to if you want to listen to a cast album? Like, what are your favorite musical theater shows?
So when I was in choir, well, my favorite musical is probably Wicked. Yeah, obsessed. Wicked and Rent. Like, my friends and I would watch the Rent movie all the time, and we went and saw it. I'm from San Francisco, so we would go to the Orpheum Theater there. I know every single song in Wicked, would try and sing Defying Gravity and like hit every single note.
Yes.
So definitely those, like, I love those musicals. But in choir, I think we did like Hairspray at one point, which was really fun. But no, I mean, I love it all. I just think, like, I think for someone like me to combine, it's just another way to be creative for me. Yeah. I love to sing. I love being, you know, making people feel something. And I got to do that through playing a character and tell this story of Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool.
I love that. Tell us about working with your co-stars on the film. And did you take any kind of sort of acting lessons, or not lessons from them, but like lessons that you took away from the experience that will help you on your next upcoming acting projects that I'm sure are on the way?
Yeah,
right.
We're manifesting
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
Oh my gosh, I learned so much. I mean, so my co-star, when I found out that, so I play Riley Wheeler. I am the younger sister of Matthew Wheeler, played by Chris Carmack. Mm-hmm. And I first knew Chris Carmack, a lot of people know from Grey's Anatomy, the OC way back when. Yeah. But I discovered him on the show Nashville. I watched the show Nashville and fell in love with him. He plays Will Lexington, such a heartthrob. and I could not believe that he was going to play my brother. So I was super nervous to work alongside Chris. He could not have been more amazing and supportive and just so like relaxed on set. And they would pick us up we would share a van from our hotel in downtown Vancouver and drive out to set, which was like an hour in like farmland in these cute little Hallmark towns.
the
Hallmark finds. But we would practice our scenes on the way there, and we would run lines. And, you know, he taught me a lot about The thing with acting that was probably the most challenging thing was that everything's done out of order. So it's not chronological. So the first scene that I did was actually the last scene, one of the last scenes in the movie. Mm, yeah. So that for me was really hard. And my director was amazing with me too, to say, okay, yes, this is the last scene of the movie. So, but we're here today and it's your first scene. So this is what's already happened in the movie. This is what hasn't happened yet. Yeah. This is how your relationship with your brother is, X, Y, and Z. So it was so cool to take those things away. And then the lead, Shanae Grimes, is amazing. And as female to female, I learned so much from her. Just her poise on camera and how she was able to just emote so well. And just when we were in a scene together, it was like she was locked into me and nothing else was around, which is really hard to do because as a first-time actress, I'm like, what's that person doing? Wait, where's the camera? Where's the microphone going? Oh, wait, where's my mark? You know, and they kept having to be like, Grace, stop looking at your mark. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know. Right. So I learned so much. And,
love that.
A lot to take away.
And how amazing, like, how are you feeling right now? The fact that, you know, you shot this movie for Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, your first professional gig, which is incredible, but now that Hallmark Channel proper is picking up this film and airing it as part of like their big countdown to Christmas slate, that's got to feel really, really cool. Yeah.
So cool. It's so cool. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I wasn't a huge Hallmark watcher growing up. Like we would watch a lot of the classic movies, like A Christmas Story and, you know, The Grinch and, you know, Charlie Brown's Christmas and stuff like that. So we always watched those just movies every single year. But what's so amazing about Hallmark is this fan base is so committed. Yes. I mean, in October, they are like getting out their Christmas sweaters and they are like planning. Yes, they're like planning what we're going to do. Oh yeah, they even have Christmas in July. Yeah, like it is Christmas fans. And I love, love, love Christmas time. I mean, you can see my decor and my coffee mug. I mean, I'm obsessed. But so just to be a part of that community just means a lot to me. Not only Hallmark as a production company, they have been so supportive and wonderful with me, but the fans are just like the best. Yeah. And so it's been really, really fun to be introduced to a whole different fan base that's not country music. So it's really cool.
I love that. That's so great. Now, a very cool aspect of this film, Time to Come Home for Christmas, Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas, is that you have an original song featured in the movie. This is like combining your two worlds. This is so amazing. So tell us about Star on Top of the Tree, which is absolutely a bop. We love the song. We're huge fans.
Thank you.
But tell us about how, like, you wrote this. Did you write the song before the movie, or did you write it because of the movie? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Great question. So Star on Top of the Tree, it's my Christmas single out right now. And I actually wrote it after I filmed the movie. So we filmed the movie in June, this past June in Vancouver. And throughout, you know, I had my guitar there with me in Vancouver too. So the whole time I'm obviously a songwriter. So I was like writing kind of when I was there on my own and just, you know, still practicing and wanting, because music will always be the number one thing for me.
Right. Yeah.
But they had talked about, you know, hey, Grace, if you have any original Christmas songs, you know, we're always looking for original music to put in our movies, if you have anything. And so I had had a few Christmas songs, but I was like, wait, I want to try and write something that I know will be a perfect fit for this movie. So after I filmed it, came back to Nashville, got in the writing room immediately with Joy Beth Taylor and Dan Agee, two of my favorite writers here in Nashville. Danny G, one of the best producers out there. And we got together in the room and I kind of explained the movie and a little bit of what I experienced in Vancouver. And Joy Beth had this kind of idea that was like, she said, I've always wanted to write this Christmas song that's like how people say, oh, that's just the cherry on top of everything. You know, that's just the cherry on top. And she said, but what if it was the star on top? So yes, Christmas, you know, the coffee mugs, the decorations, the lights, the Christmas cookies and all those things are great, but it's just the cherry on top or the star on top of what Christmas is really about, which is about being with the ones that you love. So we sat there and kind of talked through all of that concept. And I was like, I love that. That's exactly the type of song that needs to go in this movie. It really just, you know, all makes sense. And Dan started kind of playing something on the piano and we sang it that day, or I sang it that day. And that's literally what you're hearing in the movie. So it happened really fast because Nashville is very fast. But I turned it in probably a week later and they were like, oh my gosh, Grace, we know exactly where this is going. Great job. And I was like, holy my gosh, my first song in a movie. Like, that's really cool. Just so cool.
Check box on check box. So, you know, for people who are probably really excited about this song now because of the way you've set it up, I think let's just play a little clip. You know, Chris, let's have Chris drop a little clip in here. Oh my gosh. It's a bop for sure. It slaps. Oh,
so good.
Yeah.
We love it.
Thank you.
We like to call songs we really like on this show, Grace, we like to call them yeet bop bangers. So that one is a yeet bop.
Because we're 40-year-old dads and we don't know how to talk cool.
I love that.
I was going to say it's because we're cool, but.
you guys are so cool. Play it for your kids, because when I played that over Thanksgiving, I have a video of my niece. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, but my niece is almost three, and she is like my mini me. She's such like, she's like, hello, I'm here, everybody. She's so funny. But she, because anyway, I was playing I was showing a sneak peek to my family at Thanksgiving, the music video for Star on Top of the Tree. And I'm playing it, and my niece could not contain herself. She like jumps off the couch and just starts full on dancing and like bowing. And then at one point she got like those zoomies where she's like, I can't, and started like running around the house. I'm like, okay, so she likes the song. That's great. But it's really cute. I don't know why kids are, I mean, I know it's Christmas music, but it's really fun to see. A lot of my friends send me videos of their kids just dancing the Star on Top of the Tree. And it's the sweetest thing. I love it.
Oh my gosh. So great. And is it available on all the major streaming platforms for people who want to listen to it? Yeah.
Yes. Available everywhere you listen to music.
All right. Speaking of music, now we love to do countdowns on our show. That's why it's called Christmas Countdown Show. So we're wondering, could you maybe give us your top three favorite Christmas songs to listen to, starting at number three, working to number one?
Okay. Starting at number three, I would say Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yes.
Classic. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I mean, it just gets you in the mood. Yes. Two would be Michael Bublé. It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
Oh,
that intro.
So
you're just like, it's time. Like,
it's so good. Ready. But also one of my favorite parts of that intro is trying to time out in the space, the like rest space. It's beginning to, trying to time it
you're
out.
You're totally right.
I love that game of trying to get it exactly right on it.
Be a TikTok of like people trying to get the timing.
That's brilliant.
It's really hard. That would be funny. And then my number one, I know a lot of people are probably expecting All I Want for Christmas Is You, which I love. But Oh Holy Night, Celine Dion, is like just one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. That is like when I'm going to manifest, when I make a Christmas record, I am doing that cover of Oh Holy Night. And like, there's just, as a singer, number one, it's one of those that I love to, you know, it's very hard. It's a hard song to sing. But number two, there's just so much emotion in that. And I just love, love, love Oh Holy Night, Celine Dion, for sure.
I love that. Now, Grace, I'm about to change your life.
Oh, geez, here it
comes.
Change
your life. As soon as we finish this interview, you're going to get off the computer. And you're going to go onto YouTube and you're going to search Oh Holy Night, David Phelps. He sings with the Gaithers.
Really?
Do you know the Gaithers? They're like an old gospel singing group from the South.
No.
Okay, David Phelps is like kind of he was in the Gaithers, but now he's kind of an opera singer. It is the greatest vocal performance ever of any singer.
Oh, I can't wait.
Man or woman, old or new, it is the greatest thing you will ever, ever
see. I'm so excited.
See. I wish I could maybe film yourself watching it, because you're going to love it so much. I guarantee you.
I'm
it's
so excited.
That great. It's that great.
Love it.
Yeah, you could do one of those like reaction videos, listen and react videos for like TikTok or whatever. Eric played that season one, and it literally almost knocked me out of my chair. It's that
so
good.
Excited.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I will watch it. Okay, yay! I love that song.
So, speaking of Christmas music, these are some of your favorites to listen to. But is there maybe one Christmas song that you haven't recorded or sung that you would love to put your voice on?
I mean, I haven't recorded a lot of. I don't think I've recorded any Christmas covers because that would be something I would do for a record. But one that I've never performed and usually don't sing is the Christmas song. The chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I've never sang that. And I feel like I would love to do a version of that.
Yes.
I love that.
That's one of the so best good. Of all time.
Wow. I know. And I just like never, I guess I just never think to, when I do Christmas shows and stuff, I just never think to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Now, Grace, before we let you go here, do you have possibly a Christmas message that you'd like to give to all the Hallmarky fans out there or just fans of our show? Anybody that's listening, anything you want to say to the people here at the holiday season?
Oh, my God. I think I just have to take a lyric from my song, which is it's friends and family that make Christmas what it is. Mm. And that's what star on top of the tree. That's what it says in the song and the chorus. And it's so true. I just think like whether you can be with family or not, whether you're just with, you know, in-laws or friends or neighbors, just people that you love, that's what it's all about. And I think we get really caught up in, you know, the food and the cookies and, you know, presents and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's just being with your people. So that would be my message. And also tune in to Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas.
Good plug. I love it. Yes. That's a pro move there.
Speaking of Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas, will be premiering on Hallmark Channel on December 30th. Hallmark Channel just announced 3 brand new movies that had aired on other properties that are coming to Hallmark Channel proper. So if you haven't gotten enough holiday goodness on Hallmark Channel, they've got 3 more. On the 23rd, we have Mystery on Mistletoe Lane. On the 24th, we have My Christmas Guide, and then of course on the 30th to wrap up the holiday season, we have Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas, starring our new friend Grace Lear. Thank you so much, Grace, for hanging out with us today. We had a blast.
Thank you, guys. Thank
Merry
you so
Christmas,
much.
Grace.
Merry Christmas.
Well, that was an absolute blast. What a sweetheart!
It was a delight,
a total delight. Yeah, I'm so glad that we got to hang out with her, and I feel like we're sort of getting her early. You know, we see this with Hallmark Channel actors, where it's like once they're in one movie, it's like boom,
boom,
they're in every movie. And I feel like maybe we can say, remember when we chatted with Grace Lear when her first movie got on Hallmark Channel? Totally. That was so cool. And speaking of good times and having a blast, I think we should keep the good times rolling and get to some memes and things. What do you say?
Yes, you know I love my memes. Let's hit it, Chris.
Memes and things, memes and things. It's time for Eric's memes and things.
Yes.
I have to share something funny with you. The beatboxing is making me think of it.
Okay.
You know, I was just in New York, right?
Yeah.
For How to Dance in Ohio. And the night before our show, I went to see Back to the Future because huge Back to the Future fan. Sure. And I went to this place called Glasshouse Tavern, which anyone who's in the theater community or has lived in New York knows it's like a spot to go after shows. A lot of theater people will hang out there. And I was sitting, you know, at the bar just having, you know, dinner and a drink after the show. And Alex Newell, Tony Award winner, Alex Newell ended up sitting next to me.
Nice.
And somehow I got into the conversation, as you do. And we ended up talking for like 2 hours.
Amazing.
And Alex was like, well, what's your talent? And I was like, I'd like to believe I have a really big heart. And Alex was like, no. Like, you got to do better than that. I was like, I could beatbox.
And did you beatbox
I
at
did.
The glass house? For
I
Alex
did.
For,
and Alex looked at me like dead in the eyes and was like,
no, you can't.
No, I was like, you don't think us a duet, you singing over my beatboxing could be pretty fire? And they were like, honey, no, we're not. We're not doing
that's
that.
So funny.
But I just had to share that with you I totally beatbox for Alex Newell. And I got a very similar look that I'm sure a lot of people will get when they
when they
hear that music
our
right
theme
there.
Music.
Yep.
I love it. All right, folks, I'm going to get through these as quickly as I can, but there's a little chunk.
Buckle up, pour yourself some hot cocoa.
Yeah, here we go. All right, this first one is from Lindsay Swag Mom on TikTok.
Okay.
It's a little video, and I'm going to play the video, and you'll hear what's happening. There's not much to see. It's just more you want to hear what's happening.
Okay.
Here we go. It says, I got my dad for Secret Santa. I've been waiting 30 years for this.
I can't
read it.
Read it.
Read it from the beginning.
Do you want me to read it?
No, I can't read that.
You can't read that?
All right.
No. It says, okay, it says, Dad,
So now the mom's reading the card.
This was one of my most vivid childhood memories, how I remember it. How she remembers it, so God knows what if it's right or not, okay? I was maybe 7 or 8, and you left me and Nick in the car to go into a store, a comic book store. Money was tight, so you were selling your most prized possession. At least I viewed it as that in the moment. I felt your sacrifice, and it taught me that I would do whatever necessary to ensure my future family never needed for anything. It was a lesson that has stuck with me since that moment. It taught me that the value of the greater good, everything I do in life, whether you work hard or good, I assure it was for the greater good's benefit. In that moment, as you got back in the car with extra cash to pay for whatever, bills due, groceries needed, my 7-year-old mind was determined to buy it back. I knew I would work hard enough to repay you put into a greater good. I will never be able to fully repay that debt. A 7-year-old homie would be so elated to see that I finally fulfilled that promise I made to myself. Thank you for everything. I love you, Lenny.
I know what it is.
And then the dad is opening up the little bag, and inside is a like baseball card that he had sold.
Oh,
when his kids were little.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She like found it and brought it back.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
That's beautiful.
It's so good.
What I love about the video, one, it's like rip your heart out.
Yeah.
You know, because
all the people talking in the background, because it's truly like
it's at totally a family Christmas morning. Christmas. And like half the people don't realize that like an emotional thing is happening. Yeah. And I love like the one person who like pulls the kid down to like get out of the way of the shot.
I got video going there.
Yeah. But gosh,
that's a good one.
That's so beautiful.
Love that.
Beautiful.
Okay. This one is very funny. This is just a meme.
Okay.
It's a cartoon of Rudolph.
Okay.
In school, and he got his report card back. And the first semester, he got a B minus in math, an A in science, B in English, B plus in history, A in art, A in gym. But in the second quarter, he got a B minus in math, an A in science, a B in English, but a D in history, and then an A in art and an A in gym because he went down in history. Chris, like that? It's solid. Solid.
I was like, where is this going? I know exactly where this is going.
Oh,
that's
so good.
Really funny. Yeah.
This one I saw, this is Best of Christmas with a bunch of S's in the Instagram account. And I actually saw this on a commercial the other day. So I don't know if they stole it from there or whatever, but it's some house that is totally decked out, lights everywhere,
looks
the
stunning,
whole
yeah.
thing. You know, they got the on the roof, on the lawn, the whole thing. And then the house right next door just put up a tiny little sign that says ditto with a line pointing with an arrow pointing to their neighbor.
I
was like,
that.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. I like that. That's good. Okay. This is a good one. We'll post this maybe on our stories.
Okay.
I found the winter sore throat tea.
Ooh.
Make sure you have some of this on the ready. Great recipe for sore throats and chest colds. Makes about 2 cups. It's basically like lemon, ginger, honey, a lot of natural stuff, but they say just have that in your fridge because
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you heat it up, so you just like pre-make it.
Totally.
And then you just throw it in the microwave or in a little pan.
Ready
or a pot.
To go.
Yeah. Love that.
This was a great quote that I found from C.S. Lewis,
okay.
And it felt apropos for the season. And it says, "Love is never wasted, for its value does not rest upon reciprocity." So it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's
put
great.
As much love out into the world as you can.
I love that word, reciprocity.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Makes me think of one thing and one thing alone.
What's that?
Chicago, the musical. Reciprocity.
That's right. Okay, this was really funny. At Disneyland right now, they in Cars Land, they have a bunch of like fake movie posters that star like Mater, but they're all like holiday themed.
Oh, amazing.
And they're all puns. So there's one that is, what does that one say? Hang on.
Is it in the line for Mater's like
it's
Junkyard
like just
Jamboree?
Past the line. Just past the line. There's one called Snowy, where he's just a snowman, which is fun. There's one that is called the Lug Nut Cracker. That one I thought was pretty good. There is one that is Coolant Runnings.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it's like Cool Runnings.
That's brilliant.
Good. It says One Dream, 4 Forklifts, 20 Below Zero. And then there's the Santa Clutch, with Santa car gone, he'll do in a clutch.
Hey, that's brilliant.
Some good puns there. We like that.
What a fun job that must be.
Yes. This was a cool picture. I thought you would really like this.
Okay.
This is Alan Rickman filming the final scene of him falling off Nakatomi Plaza for the ending of Die Hard. But I've just never seen this vantage point.
Oh, wow.
It's like you can really see Alan Rickman basically like hanging off a little ledge inside right. of a studio. And you can't see the floor, but I'm sure it's, you know, a good fall down.
Right, right, right.
And we've talked about the story, right, how they told him that they would drop him on 3, but then they dropped him on, like, 1. So that
no,
he was,
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, this is a great story. So when they filmed that, the director was like, we'll count to 3. We'll go 1, 2, 3, and then we'll drop you. And then instead what they did is they went 1, and then they dropped him. So his, like, that look of fear
yeah.
that you see in his eyes as he's falling was
genuine.
Real.
That's amazing.
Because they dropped him on purpose to try to get
that's
a
incredible.
Real reaction out of him.
Speaking of Die Hard, did you see that clip of Bruce Willis that's
yes.
viral all over the internet? It's where he's doing a roast.
Oh.
And he goes, I am solely here to answer one question, settle this for all. Die Hard is not
there we go.
A Christmas
there we
movie.
Go. There we go.
I was
like it.
See?
From the man himself.
And if you agree with that, go to our website, ChristmasCountdownShow.com.
Get yourself a shirt.
And whatever side of the aisle you're on.
That's right.
We've got Die Hard is and is not a Christmas movie.
Okay, this is from Mommy Wine Time
okay.
on Instagram, and they wrote, I don't remember what I got for Christmas when I was 6 or 10. I do remember the smell of the kitchen on Christmas morning.
Mm.
I remember counting the marshmallows my dad put in my hot cocoa. I remember waking up and giving my parents a hug and feeling magic before a gift was even opened.
Mm.
Remember, it's the memories that make the magic,
oh,
not the gifts.
That's so great.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah.
This is a funny meme where they have Taylor Swift with a bunch of like the math stuff around her head.
Yes,
like when you're
yes,
really
yes.
thinking hard about something, and it says me calculating my December budget and realizing everyone's getting a hug for Christmas. I thought that was pretty good.
That's really, really funny.
Okay. This was on Instagram. It's a guy named As Goosey, AZGOOSEY.
Okay.
It looks like he does like reaction videos.
Oh, cool.
But there's one that he posted of people showing some wrapping tips.
Okay.
That it's hard for me to describe them. You should just go watch it. But like how to create a little pocket for your card and like
yes.
how to wrap something that's a weird shape. And
right.
Go to his page and you'll see a really cool wrapping video with a lot of really
okay.
good hacks.
Yeah. When you go on TikTok and look up like gift wrapping,
oh,
it
yeah.
is amazing what people have been able to, they've figured out how
yeah.
to do
yeah.
with like hard to wrap items or like fun ways to just do square items. Like you said, that little card slot, it's
yep.
brilliant.
All right, this is from at Union Salt Bay. It
okay.
says, I think it's high time for those of us in movement work to start using the Muppet Christmas Carol method of shaming public figures. Every time a bad person leaves a building, 100 people should jump out and start singing a song about how bad they are. Puppets optional. I was like, that's pretty good.
That's amazing. Have
like
you
that.
Seen the bloopers
yeah.
reel that's been circulating around?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. My wife sent it to me. I think it was yesterday. And I have it in my saved.
There's also
folder.
Really good bloopers of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Okay.
That has some great
Which is
bloopers.
Playing in Chicago.
Yeah, the live version.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, this is from at Not The Nanny. And it says, watching Home Alone for the first time in 20 years, and the most implausible plot point is that the McAllisters would oversleep until 8 a.m. with that many kids in the house. I thought that was pretty good.
That is brilliant.
This is a fun thing. This is a quote from Stephen R. Covey, C-O-V-E-Y. And I thought this was a good thing to put in your ear as you're seeing family and talking to people at Christmas parties. And it says, the biggest communication problem is we do not listen to understand, we listen to reply. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's like the whole idea of like, you know, two ears, one mouth.
Yes.
Situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. This one, I think some people may have seen. This is a great little video.
Okay.
This is from, I found it on the Indie 100, but I think that was just somebody reposting it.
Okay.
This is a kid who is British. So British kids are always just adorable.
Yep.
And he's talking about the role that he got in the Christmas pageant at his school.
Mm.
Okay, check this out. Here we go.
Guess what I am for the Nativity?
Says, guess what I am.
One.
Classic role, is it?
Classic part. Role.
Yeah.
Joseph?
No.
one of the three wise men?
No.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing!
He's so
holding
happy.
Yeah.
Probably Joseph and Mary.
Oh wow. My gosh, were you pleased when they said that?
And I was like, I'm a door holder. Get in there, let's go. I'll have to wear, like, brown.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Excellent. That's, wow, that's really smart, Milo.
Look how happy he is.
He's so happy.
Wait, who posted that?
I found it on the Indie 100.
Okay, but, on TikTok?
Instagram.
Oh, Instagram, okay.
But he's just this cute little British kid, and he's like, he's not like, oh, man, I'm door holder number three. He's like, I'm door holder number three. Get in there.
Classic, you know, role.
Classic role. It's so lovely. I just love it.
We should all attack life and every task we have with, like, I got a classic
same
role.
Same verve, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, I don't have video of this, but I'll show you a screenshot.
Okay.
There was a guy dressed as Buddy the Elf running around downtown Chicago a couple weeks ago.
Amazing.
And just sort of being silly and
you know,
jumping in front of cars and stuff. He runs up to a restaurant that has a lot of glass windows.
Okay.
And he tries to bang on the window to be like, hey, it's Buddy the Elf, just to some random people.
Right.
He broke the window when he patted on the window. It just broke. And the look of on his face is like, oh,
what
shoot.
Did I just do?
He did not mean to do that. That's a pretty good video.
That's hysterical.
Okay, this is a good one. It says, this is from at Soviet Disco. And it says, the reason It's a Wonderful Life in 1946 holds up so well is that George's line where he says, you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000 has somehow not aged even slightly. It's so true.
Right.
It's so true.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Did we talk about this video of the people singing? Yeah, we talked about that one. The people singing Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh,
like
yes.
The random people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Although what we didn't talk about, because after that I saw Shane McGowan's funeral. I don't know if you saw this, Chris, but Glenn Hansard played Fairy Tale of New York, and it's so Irish.
Mm.
Everybody got up and started dancing around the casket and like is singing along, and everybody's smiling, and it's beautiful. So Irish.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, this is a playlist that I just want to give out to people because it's a good one if you're looking for something chill. If you search up Ambient Christmas from Reagan Simmons on Spotify.
Okay.
Very good kind of sleeping.
I'm going to look it up right now. Is it like lo-fi type vibes?
A little bit of lo-fi, but it also has some like crackling fireplace sounds. And
okay.
It's good. It's you're going to like it.
Well, you said Reagan.
Reagan Simmons. S-I-M-M-O-N-S.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay, this was interesting. I found this on Fact of the Day on TikTok.
Okay.
And it says, the term Xmas dates back to the mid-1500s.
Hmm.
I didn't know this. The Greek letter X is the first letter in the Greek word for Christ.
Oh,
so
right.
That's why we call it Xmas.
Wow.
I've always wondered.
Yeah.
Now we have answers.
Well, because I think a lot of people assume it's like insulting to be like,
yes,
you've taken the word
right.
Christ
yeah.
out of Christmas, but in reality,
it's still there.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
This was great. This was a news article from The Independent. I don't know if you've seen, there's a game going on right now on the internet called Whamageddon. Do you know about
no.
this? Okay, so it's this idea that you have to try to go your entire holiday season without hearing the song Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, wow.
And if you hear it, you're out. And that's the whole game.
Oh, my gosh.
And so people have been like trying to navigate their holiday season and be like, I'm 15 days in. I still haven't heard it. And so this is happening. It's sort of an internet thing that's happening. But this story is about, it says, a DJ has apologized for playing the festive hit Last Christmas by Wham, knocking more than 7,000 people out of the game Whamageddon.
Was it like at a club or something?
Yeah, it was
like
at
that?
A club
oh
and they played
gosh.
It. And all these people were like, no!
No! That's like, have you ever heard of The Game?
Yes. Yes.
Where it's just like, if you think about the game, you've lost.
You've lost the game. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a funny cartoon. It has two doors, and there's two different elves walking into each door.
Okay.
One is walking into the hanging out in a garden door.
Okay.
And the other one is walking into the making toys in the North Pole. And he says, sometimes I think I chose the wrong major. Be a lot easier the other way around. All
right.
I got two more. Here we go. Okay. This, Danny, I must have this.
Okay.
I found this on TikTok, at NeedForSpeed_RC.
All right.
It is a thing that you attach to your Christmas tree. It goes right below the star.
Okay.
And it is an F-14 or an F-16. Which one is it? F-14? From Top Gun?
Which?
F-14.
F-14, yeah. F-14. And it attaches on a little wire, and then it spins around. It constantly is circling your Christmas tree.
That's
awesome.
That's really, really cool.
I must have this.
I wonder if they do that with like Santa's sleigh, too.
That would be good.
You feel like it feels like they have to have that, right?
I've seen recently the train that's like in the middle of that looks really cool.
That's super cool. Yeah.
All right, last one here. This is funny. This is from Atomic Avocado Designs, and it says, "I accidentally used my mom's fabric scissors to cut wrapping paper, and now the cops are here." Because I don't know about you, but in my family, if I use the wrong scissors, there's a price to pay.
Those are the kitchen cutters.
Don't use those scissors.
Who took my kitchen cutters?
Yes.
Every single time. All right, guys, we have another guest. Can you believe it? It's sort of the end of the season. It feels like all the guests are rolling in right now to Christmas Countdown, which we're super excited about. And this is a person who is a part of a group. This is massive. We were so fortunate a couple episodes. We got to chat with the icon, Darlene Love, who was like on our Christmas wish list of guests. And now we have another Christmas wish list guest person, whatever you want to call it, who is joining us here on Christmas Countdown. Please welcome from the smash hit successful group Pentatonix. You know them, love them. Please welcome Kevin Olushola. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Thank you guys so much for having
Kevin,
me. This is a treat.
Oh man, we're so happy to have you. Danny and I and Chris, we're huge Christmas fans, as I'm pretty sure that you probably are, being a part of Pentatonix. But we've talked so much about Pentatonix and how you guys come out with new music every season, and it's so great. It's so strong. Danny and I have both been fans since the sing-off days, and Chris as well.
Wow.
We remember you guys like from the get. And we're just so excited to be talking to you today. This is really cool.
Oh man, that means the world. Did you guys have any favorites from the sing-off that you guys like really emotionally connected to? I'm just curious.
As far as groups go, unfortunately, I wasn't on board with Pentatonix immediately. I really wanted Dartmouth Airs to win. I really liked what they were doing. It was awesome.
They're good, man. I still love a lot of those guys are still friends today.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
I just remember I was at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in 2012. I was living out in New York at the time. And I remember being up on like 73rd and Central Park West, and the float comes by and you guys are on it. And I was like, there is an a cappella group who is in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, cause I grew up on a cappella music. My dad is a barbershop singer. And I grew up like listening to Rockapella and Impact and the Blenders and the Knutson Brothers and all these like old like a cappella groups. Dude, so when like the sing-off came out, I was like, finally a cappella groups are getting their due. And then you guys like have made a cappella music cool. Like people are obsessed with a cappella music now. And so we're huge, huge fans, like Eric said, not just, you know, now because you guys have become superstars, but like way back in the day. And I'm grateful. And like when I look up your like bio, you know, because as everyone who listens to the show knows, I like to do deep dives into learning about people, you know, before I chat with them. And I'm looking at your bio and all that you've done, like cellist, beatboxer, singer, you're fluent in Chinese, you're a dad, like what have you not done? Like it's just incredible, man. Like have you always been like that?
My wife will say, your cooking's fine, you know. We should give that to somebody else if we're trying to keep the family alive.
Right. I think my wife might say something similar. However, I am not fluent in any languages other than English. But like a cappella music, you know, I think a lot of people think like when you say a cappella music, they go like four guys standing by like a street lamp, you know, in Jersey, mm-hmm. like singing doo-wop sort of thing. That's what people think. But like, when did you first get introduced to a cappella music and what was it about that style that drew you in?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I was in choir for 2 years, fourth grade and fifth grade. And I remember just being so emotionally impacted by group harmony, group singing, where there's something about the frequencies of so many voices together coming to one that overwhelms you with emotion. Like it's such a mind boggling experience.
Mm-hmm.
But then acapella itself, I actually went to boarding school at a place called Phillips Academy in Andover, Mass. And this is kind of like a pitch perfect story. I remember I was literally beatboxing in the shower. And this one guy, Andy St. Louis, he basically opens the showers and goes, dude, you're beatboxing incredible. And I'm like, I'm taking a shower. What is going on? Like this. And so then he's like, when you're done with the shower, come speak to me. I go, okay, go speak to him. And he says, hey, so we have this group on campus called the Yorkies. We'd love for you to do percussion on our album that we're working on.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because my dad did not like the fact that I beatbox. I didn't know it was called beatboxing. I didn't know it was called vocal percussion. Yeah. I just made sounds. And my dad would always just be like, shut up. I'm trying to focus on driving or whatever I'm doing, but you continue doing this thing. So I joined this acapella group and I do beatboxing recording for their album. And I remember getting it back and I said, this is crazy that you can make beatboxing sound like it's actual production.
Yeah.
For singing. And right. I sent it to my dad. I said, you know that thing that you called like kind of trash, that you were like, I don't like the fact that you do that. Some people actually call that talent.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
And it was really cool for him to listen to it and go, oh wow, this is actually really cool what you're doing. You know, not yes. thinking it was ever going to be a career, but I think that was the first like inclination that he said, okay, this is something that my son has as a musical gift.
That he's very great at. Yeah, that's awesome. So, Kevin, you guys have released with Pentatonix 8 Christmas albums in 11 years. First of all, just eight albums so in big. 11 years sounds insane to begin with. And the fact that you could get that many with all just about Christmas. Tell us about the process. Like, when do you guys start recording the Christmas album? Is it in the summer where you sort of have to, you know, pretend that you're in the spirit? Or are you guys working, you know, a whole winter ahead? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, you said 8 out of 11 years. Like, I now realize why my body's so tense and why my voice is so hoarse all the time, because we've done 8 albums in 11 years.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, so for example, the Holidays Around the World album, we actually started that in January when we were filming the Christmas special for Disney. And from there, we kind of just started to, because we knew it was going to take some time to get all the collaborators, and some were going to come in, some may not be able to do it, you know, and there are collaborators all around the world. So it took some time getting that one done. You know, the most recent one, I'd say it's the same thing. We started in January and actually finished it in May before we went on our European tour. So we're always kind of thinking about Christmas, knowing that this time of the year is coming. But it's also kind of amazing because you get to be in the Christmas spirit year round.
Yeah.
And that's like the happiest, the jolliest. Like, it's so fun to see.
We talk about that, yeah.
My daughter. And you get to see, like, for example, my daughter, who absolutely loves what we do, which is so cool to say. I thought she was going to be so burned out by this music, but she still loves it. She's listening to it. Like, I remember we had Please Santa Please mix, I don't know, probably July. Or no, I mean, it was early because we turned it into May. But, like, I was playing it for her in July. And she's like, since then, she's like, I just want to hear that video. I want to hear that music all great. The time. I want to see the video all the time. It's like, it's cool that even though it's early, the family really, really loves it. We really enjoy it. And it just makes it that much more exciting to be able to do the Christmas tour after having had this music in our system for quite a while.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So I'm curious, you know, with like musicians who play instruments, like, you know, there's a process of like, let's sit down and let's start strumming out some chords on the guitar, and then the bass sort of starts coming in, and then drums. Like, when you guys are working on arrangements or when you're writing new songs, you know, like That's Christmas to Me, like you as vocal percussionist, like what is your sort of process? And then you guys as a group, as you start to hammer out arrangements together?
That's a good question. You know, our process has changed throughout the years. I think when we started off, especially on the sing-off, we would just sit in a circle and start to throw out random ideas, be very, very improvisational. And I think that really helped us find our sound, what we do. But then as kind of life got a little bit busier, we started to do a lot more touring, more albums, more records. we realized that we needed to have a more efficient process.
Sure.
And so what we would start to do is just use a voice memo and just kind of have like a pre-arrangement done, kind of know what the arc's going to be like. And then we would sing that like badly sung pre-arrangement into a voice memo and then send it to our arranger, Ben Bram, to kind of take all the parts that he's hearing and say, okay, let me flesh this out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, in each of those processes, I'm still just improvising different beats that I think could possibly work. And yeah, and just trying to understand where we're trying to go and just feel it within my system. Just literally like a producer would sit at the computer, listen to different sounds, see what works with the song that he's trying to make, right? Exact same thing. And now, because of technology, we've really had a lot more fun kind of taking the process ourselves, bringing our Pro Tools rig, bringing what I use, Ableton, and trying stuff on our own, trying different like production elements that we think could be interesting. Because now I think we're in this place where we're actually interested in, I'm not saying moving away from acapella, but adding instrumentation to what we do vocally to enhance our vocal kind of prowess. So I think now having more of those production tools at hand actually has been really, really fun. And I think the possibilities now are endless.
Yeah. That's so cool. Kevin, I am in no way a beatboxer. I'm not claiming that at all. But I do want to say I make one relatively cool noise with my mouth. I'll demonstrate it for you now. I call it a human kazoo or an air guitar, but it sounds like this.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Right? So that sounds pretty good. It's the one sound I can do.
Let's go.
I love doing it. I do it all the time. My wife and my kids are sometimes like, shut up. We know you can make that noise. But it's very pleasing to my mouth. Like it feels good in my mouth. So I'm wondering, with all of the different sounds that you're able to make, is there a certain part of vocal percussion that like a certain sound that you're like, oh, I love when I get to add this to the song or whatever, or perform this part of what I do?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, the thing that I've always enjoyed is adding my snare to a song.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I really love adding kind of like cool hip hop beats to what we do, because I think people don't associate this polished acapella sound with kind of grittier beats.
Sure.
And so when I get to bring that to it, it gives it like a coolness that I really, really enjoy about the acapella. Groove, yeah. So that's the...
Yes.
I love that sound so much.
That's awesome. That's so great.
Dude, so that's probably the one that I use the most out of anything. Also, the reason I do that a lot is because instead of like the rock snare, the hard thing is that you're exhaling so much breath, so it's hard for me to get air. But with the snare, the K snare, I'm able to get so much breath in and just continue beatboxing. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I use it also a lot. It just helps me continue doing what I have to do on stage.
Amazing. Dude, that is so incredible. I have so many questions about beatboxing because I, you know, listening to all the acapella music that I grew up listening to, you know, I was like, oh, I want to try to create those sounds. And so I'm curious because I feel like there's a lot of people listening who secretly love beatboxing. Like, I feel like it's that thing you do, like you were saying, you're in the shower or you're driving to work and you're sort of by 100%. Yourself or you're with your kids and you're like, listen to what I can do. but like, what are some tips or like little tricks for anyone out there who's like, whether they've been trying to do it for years or they want to start trying to learn how to beatbox? Like, what's a good starting point for people?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the first thing that I will say, I know you've probably heard this before, but all the foundation starts with is boots and cats, right? So the boots is the kick, the hi-hat, and the cat, right? Now, mine's a little bit more complicated, but what I would say is that, one, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Your mouth is your mouth. The way your mouth has been designed and shaped is your mouth. So you can take all the techniques and learn them, and they just might sound differently with your mouth. And that is perfectly okay. That means you have your own production kit that you get to use to make the music that is satisfying and soothing to you. So I think that's a really, really important point. And then I would say, personally, you know, I am not the kind of beatboxer that wants to be the have the most sounds and be the best beatboxer in the world. That's not something that really pertains to me. What I want to do is be the best musician that I can be, so I can utilize the sounds in a way that works for the music that I'm trying to create, right? Whether it's in a full production and my beatboxing is in there that adds another element to it, or my production kit is just my mouth, I try to listen to as much music as I possibly can, digest it so that whenever I start to beatbox, it feels like I'm truly making music appropriate for the production that is being made. So I say focus on being an amazing musician. And the technique will then follow the musicianship that you're trying to portray.
That's awesome. That's I feel truly like great advice.
That's such like an a cappella musician's way of looking at it, because when you are doing a cappella music, so much of it is about blending together rather than just making really, really cool sounds with your mouth. Like you might be able to do something really cool, but it detracts from what you guys are doing together as a group. And it's finding that way to blend, which I think is just brilliant. That's an amazing, amazing tip.
Now, Kevin, you guys are on tour right now, correct?
You are literally right now in my dressing room. So very much on tour.
Amazing. So
that's awesome.
Tell us how the tour is going so far.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny that it is called the most wonderful tour of the year, because that actually is what we feel with this specific tour. This feels like the most exciting tour we have done in our whole career. There are so many moments to the tour that are just so unbelievably special, you know, with Scott and his TikTok moment, or the fact that we have a B stage for the first time. And it's so amazing to go out there, the audience, and being able to touch your fans and speak to them and really connect with them in a much more personal way than I think we ever have before. You know, Matt and I have this really, really cool section where we take Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy that we did as a band, and we are reimagined it for this stage a la Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Nice.
And I'm doing kind of people, you know, with Jimi Hendrix, I'll say Kevin Hendrix type cello playing, where it's just like electric and rocker, and it's distorted, and it's just like mean. And like, I have so much fun doing that because people just don't expect that kind of sound out of a cello. So it's definitely the most exciting tour we feel like we've done. And I go, how in the world do we top this one for next year? Because it's just, we put all the stops, everything that we could think of creatively. What about this? What about a t-shirt gun? What? It's like we did everything we could. And so it's exciting. It's a really fun tour.
Amazing.
That's incredible. And what's fun is that you guys are so creative as individuals and as a group, where you may be saying here in this moment, like, how do we top this? But we trust as fans, and I'm sure all the fans around the world know that, like, next year you're going to come up with even bigger and better stuff. So, you know, if you didn't get to see Pentatonix on tour, you know, this year, you know, look forward to, you know, holiday season 2024, because we know you guys are going to bring it in a big, big way. So Kevin, on our show, you know, we're Christmas Countdown. We like to do lists on our show. We do a lot of top 10 lists, but, you know, we're curious, you know, we'd love to go through maybe a couple top threes with you pertaining to the holiday season and find out what Kevin's top threes are. Are you game for that?
Ooh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
All right. So we're going to start out easy. Let's go. What are your top three favorite Christmas songs of all time, starting at three, working to one?
Is it weird that actually a couple of them might actually be Pentatonix versions of songs?
No, that's awesome.
That would work perfectly, because that's how our countdowns go as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's actually the truth. Like, since we've been doing Christmas music, I've like really, really enjoyed them. So I'll say for number three, the one that my daughter loves the absolute most, and I love it too, and every single time we listen to it together, it's just such a treat, and we're dancing around the house. It's Please Santa Please. This is a song that came out of a Nashville songwriting session that just, man, absolutely blew my mind working with these two songwriters, Kara and Emily, and, you know, Kirstie was part of it too, and it just came away. It came out so beautifully in a way that I think we were so excited by. So that would be my number three. My number two would be Kid on Christmas. That one I remember us, me and Matt, going in with our songwriter friend, Tranny Anderson and Jared Conrad, again in Nashville. And it was so cool. Tranny came into the session. I said, you know what, y'all? I woke up, I prayed, and I had a song this morning. I just wanted to share it with you guys. That's literally awesome. What I said. And she sang us the verse and the chorus, and Matt and I were like, this is amazing. Yeah. And so we finished it with her, and we sent it to the band. And at that time, Scott was working with Meghan Trainor on her most recent album. And he said, you know, maybe she'd be interested in doing it with us. And then he shared it with her, and she goes, this is an amazing song. She tweaked a couple of things and sang her vocal. And then, you know, it became such a great song on Holidays Around the World. So I would say those two are number three, number two. Okay. Number one is Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Thank you.
Danny is very happy about that.
I feel so validated and vindicated and all the things right in this moment. That song slaps. I don't care who you are. When it comes on, you cannot help but smile and dance.
Absolutely. You, Danny, you are seen. You are loved.
Finally, it's only taken 3 years. Like 3 years, and finally it's happening.
That's so good. That is honestly the perfect answer that you could have given. And Danny is, he is going to be on cloud nine for a week just hearing that answer. It's amazing.
Perma smile over here.
It is so good. Every single time I put that song on my playlist, it's like, it's done. You won't find me. I am dancing in a corner by myself, living my best life. And if you judge me, go ahead and judge me, because I'm going to be doing the things.
Yes. I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Have you guys done a recording of that song?
We have.
You have? Okay.
I don't know when, but we have done that one.
Okay. Nice. I got to go dig that one up, because I love it.
Kevin, we're going to switch from music to movies, because those are sort of the two biggest things that we love to count down. Do you have a top three, starting at three, working to number one, Christmas movies, your favorite Christmas movie?
So I like the third one would probably, I like the Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
The animated
one? I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, number two. I'm probably going to say Love Actually.
Ooh, I love Love Actually.
Yeah.
That one is such a good movie. And so many God good only parts, knows it's just, exactly. God Only Knows it's such a smash.
Yeah.
And then I would say number one. Yeah, it's Home Alone for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely Home Alone.
Kevin and Danny's I are favorite. Meant to be best friends. We are meant to be best friends. We love the same music, same movies. Oh my gosh. Now,
it also, that one's the one where I feel seen and I feel loved, because it was cool to hear somebody scream Kevin's name. And I was like,
finally, there's a mom screaming at Kevin, and it's not my mom.
Yeah. And it's not my mom. Exactly. I was like, I feel seen. I feel loved.
Dude,
so
that
good.
Is a great list. Would you believe, Kevin, we were recently chatting with some cast members of Eric's. He's doing Christmas Story at the Amundsen here in L.A. And one person listed their number one movie as Home Alone 3.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was like Live Your Truth, but also.
Yeah, good for you.
But also, have you seen the movie?
Exactly. But also, no.
So we know you got a lot going on. You guys are on tour right now. Before we wrap up here, just curious, you're a dad now. Are there any like favorite Christmas traditions or memories that you would love to share with everybody out there?
Oh man, I feel like we're just starting to get into that, because our daughter is 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily know what traditions we're gonna do yet. One of the things I do hope we do is do something related to service. Because that's something that my parents did with me growing up in Owensboro, Kentucky. We went to this place called the Rick Pitino Shelter, and we would always bake cookies for kids. And I think that just really rooted for me what this time is actually about. It's about giving. It's about service. And that's what we do when we're on these stages as Pentatonics during the Christmas time. We get to serve all these families and give them a Christmas memory that they now can find and see as their tradition coming to our shows, hopefully each year. So that's really, really special. So I hope that, I have to think about that. One thing I will say this that I think is so so funny. Kaya really wants a reindeer for Christmas. Like, she has asked. Like a reindeer.
Amazing.
It's so funny. My wife was literally going through Home Depot. It's like, okay, hear me out. just hear me out. I'm like, where is this about to go? And so she just texts me these reindeer. I'm like, what are you asking for? That's what she told me. For a reindeer for Christmas. I'm like, hey, you know what? We only have so many years where she's going to ask for that.
Right. Right.
We might as well.
Great point.
Sure. Have you seen the movie Prancer?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, you got to watch the movie Prancer. It's about a girl who finds a real Santa's reindeer and sort of has to nurse it back to health. It's a great movie. Check out Prancer, starring Sam Elliott.
Oh, man, I like that. I will remember that. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, Kevin, we so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We want to encourage everyone out there, if you have not downloaded, purchased, streamed Pentatonic's new album, The Greatest Christmas Hits, which just came out, do yourself a favor. Do it. It's got all the jams that you love on there, plus the new jam, which we're all loving, which is Please Santa Please. Huge fan of that one. Kevin, we appreciate you so much for hanging out. We want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you both so much. And thank you so much for your joy and your love and your spirit. Like, this is exactly what Christmas is about, and you're bringing it to so many people. So thank you so much for what you all do.
Thanks, Kevin. We really appreciate that. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Absolutely.
That was awesome.
That was great. All right, I think we should get into the countdown, yeah?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yes. All right, folks, these are the top five Santa sleigh substitutes. Oh, I love that.
Cubed.
I wrote them, but I didn't number them, so I have to make my numbers.
I'm in a similar boat.
Boat
is not on the list.
But. Yes, I'm gonna start with. I'm gonna start with this.
I'm so excited. I feel like these are gonna be so silly and so ridiculous.
Okay,
I love it.
The best replacement would be the Star Trek Beam Me Up thing. I don't even know what it's called, but the Beam Me Up, Scotty, if Santa could just like do the little finger thing, stand in a little pod,
prosper,
yeah, and then just be like, and they would just like send him to every house.
And it would be wide enough for his bag.
Yeah,
part of what I was considering putting this list together was also transporting the bag full of toys.
Sure. But I think it comes down to, do we think that Santa has a bag that has all the toys of the world, or is it a bag that's the size of, a duffel bag, and
right,
it's magical, and there's...
You can just dig all the way in. Just,
yeah.
Which may connect to one of my ideas that I had here. So what would that be called? Like a portal? Transport?
It's called a transporter.
Transporter. Okay.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
The sand...
Star Trek.
The sand... Sporter.
Transporter. Yeah.
Sandsport. I don't know. There's something in there, but I love that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it would need like a jingle bell sound effect.
Of course.
As he's going like jingle, jingle, jingle.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he comes back and jingle, jingle, jingle.
That's pretty good.
That would get kind of annoying after a while, but in a pinch, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
That one was great. All right. Okay. I have some fun ones here. At number five, I am going to go with armored truck.
Mm.
Hear me out here.
Like a military armored truck?
I'm talking about like one of those like trucks that delivers cash.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
To businesses.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Where like you cannot get into this thing whatsoever. Now, is it still pulled by reindeer? That was part of my debate here was like, are the reindeer still in the equation? Sure. Is it just they're on strike?
Yeah.
Which means that's why he can't use the sleigh. So he needs something else that can fly. But I just like this idea, there's some shady people out there in the world. We've seen plenty of Christmas movies, Home Alone being one. We're trying to steal Christmas gifts from people. The Grinch. How are you going to thwart those people? Travel around in an armored truck, serious security, have the head of elf, security there driving that thing. You could have the reindeer still fly it,
sure,
I think. But I just love the idea of like Santa just cruising around in this super heavy duty thing.
Is he driving or is somebody else driving and he's
hanging out in the back? I think he's hanging out in the back. He's the guy in the armored truck that gets out of the side door.
Sure.
You know how there's the guy up front in the cab and then there's the dude with the side piece who's ready to roll?
Yeah.
That's Santa Claus.
I like that.
For sure. And I just love the idea of like every time they land on a kid's roof, it's just like, ba-doosh. Is that an armored truck on our roof? Honey, oh my God. It just writes itself. So I'm going to go armored truck at number five.
I love that.
Okay.
Okay. My next one is just because I think it'd be so funny.
Yes.
The Wienermobile. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. and you would repaint it either possibly in like a candy cane stripe kind of thing.
Yeah.
You could just make the hot dog more red and then the bun kind of more green or something like that. There's a lot of ways you could go with it. It's instantly recognizable. People love it. Kids get excited to see it coming down the street. So I'm going Santa's Wienermobile.
Did you ever have a wiener whistle?
No.
You never had one?
No.
Did you want one?
I don't know what it is.
You've never, it's a miniature version of the Wienermobile.
Okay.
But it's got a little like hole at the end of it. And you...
and
uh-huh.
you blow into it. And it goes...
No, I never had one of those.
You guys. Never.
I did not. They would put like a give them away
if you ever happened to see the Wienermobile out and about. The people who were driving it would have little wiener whistles.
Yep, that's exactly what they were called. I've got one somewhere. I guarantee there are other people out there who have a wiener whistle.
Wasn't this like a part of like a Christmas movie where like somebody was like?
I think it was in the Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus. It was what's his name? Judge Reinhold's character. He gifts him a wiener whistle for Christmas.
Do you not remember this?
No.
And he's like, how'd you know?
He's like, Santa? He gifts him a wiener whistle.
Okay, yes. It's like the one thing he always wanted.
Yeah,
yes.
And
okay,
never got when he was a kid.
Yes, okay.
See?
There you it's go. It is real.
It's not so silly after all.
That's my choice is number four, Wienermobile.
Does that still drive Santa. Around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because last time I saw it, it was on the freeway here in town, like, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember I was just like, what? It's like so the coolest cool. thing you could ever possibly
when you see.
See
it in the wild. It's very cool.
Nothing like seeing that thing fly through the sky. All right. So number four for me, these are so silly. I'm going to go for one that I just think would look really, really cool. One of my dream cars is a 1959 Ford T-Bird convertible. Mm. But I want it in candy apple red. And I just want Santa sitting in those white leather seats in the front, just behind the steering wheel, and just seeing that red, beautiful car streaking through the sky. It makes you sort of think of like what, let's say like Christmas Chronicles mm-hmm. was shot like in the 50s or sure, set in the 50s rather than present day. I feel like that's what, like think about like Kurt Russell's Santa when he was like 70 years younger. Yeah. He's not riding in a Charger or whatever. Sure, he's riding in that 1959 Ford T-Bird convertible. I feel like it's like whenever you see like parades and Santa's riding in the parade, he's always sitting in the back of like a red classic.
My dad had a Ford Mustang convertible and in the early 90s, late 80s, and he used to drive it in the parade. You know, they'd get like Miss Illinois was in our parade and she'd
get the little banner on the side. Like I just, the idea of him just flying through this guy in that classic car, just feels like class. And you'd hear like Run Rudolph Run blasting down his stereo as he's flying through this guy. So that's going to be my number four.
I love it. All right, my number three, this is sort of a sentimental pick.
Ooh.
And it's going to be an old school New York City taxicab.
Oh.
Because I've told the story before. If you haven't heard, I'll tell the quick version. When I was like 8 years old, 7, 8 years old, I was sitting in the back of my parents' purple Toyota Previa minivan. And I was in the left seat behind my dad who was driving, I'm assuming. And I just happened to look to my left, and there was like an old school yellow taxi cab that in not in a newer looking car, like the old school car from the 50s or something like that. And Santa was in the back of that cab, and he looked at me and he winked and the light turned and he pulled away, and it was Santa. I saw him.
Oh my God.
It was one of the coolest things of my life. So I've always kind of associated Santa with taxi cabs.
Okay.
So I'm going to say like an old school checkered, you know, checkered on the top and yellow taxi cab.
Would he be driving it or would he be riding in the back like when you saw him?
Maybe it'd be fun for him to be riding. And the cabbie is like a real New York City cabbie. He's like, where are we going next, Santa?
But he's an elf.
Yeah.
And would the trunk would be magical maybe? And that's where like
every
all
time
the,
you open the trunk, the toy
whatever
that house
gift.
Is there.
Ooh, yeah. I like that feature. Yeah. That's really, really cool. That's a strong number three. I've gotten myself into a tough spot because I feel like there are four that I want to share. There are five.
I have a few extra. We'll share our extras on this.
Or should that be our bonus episode for the last week of the show?
I guess we could do that.
Yeah. You want to do that? Okay. Because these are ridiculous and I want to share these so badly. All right. Now this one, hear me out. To me, like, what was sort of the transport vehicle that probably came after sleighs in the world?
Carriage?
A wagon.
Sure, yeah.
Specifically, a Wells Fargo wagon.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Now, I went with this because it feels like perfect, because I was thinking about like a vessel that could transport gifts. And when I think about like, you know, the Wells Fargo wagon and Music Man and like how excited everyone, you know, in River City got when the Wells Fargo wagon, you know, brought the instruments, or they wanted the, you know, a Gray Mackinac or whatever it was, some grapefruit from Tampa. Like, I just feel like the back of a Wells Fargo wagon has that same sort of magic allure to it of like, what is going to be inside this thing? It's this thing I've been hoping for so long. And I just love the idea. Like, we could still hook up the reindeer instead of horses, and Santa sitting up there on the front, just like the driver would for the Wells Fargo wagon. And if somebody wants to create a Christmas version of the Wells Fargo wagon as it coming to town,
that'd be good.
I'd be down for that as well. And maybe that's blasting as he comes into town. And it's red.
It's already red.
So it already ties in.
Save on paint.
Exactly. So that's going to be my number three, is the Wells Fargo wagon.
All right. My number two, this is for my son.
Okay.
I didn't ask him, but I know that if I asked him, this is what he would say.
Okay.
And that's a monster truck. I'm talking like Bigfoot style. It's enormous tires.
Yes.
And we got jingle bells like in the wheels. So every time it's rolling around.
Like they're rolling around inside.
They're inside of the wheels because they're so big that. And, you know. I just think that little kids would be like, Santa's in a monster truck. Like, yes. It would be so cool.
Were you into monster trucks as a kid?
Not really.
I was. I went to like those monster truck rallies.
Yeah, I definitely had never been to a monster truck rally.
Oh my gosh.
And then when I took my son, I was like, this is spectacular.
Like, because there are a lot of those that we grew up with, or I grew up with, you know, like Gravedigger, yeah. Bigfoot.
Yep.
Like a lot of them are still around. And I just remember like actually Gravedigger, during like our big carnival, they actually had him there.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting in these like janky bleachers at some open field here in town. They're like, welcome, Gravedigger. And he like crunched a bunch of cars. And we're like, you are the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's a really great
idea.
Would you even need the reindeer at that point? Because it could just go
reindeer,
the snow.
Go on vacation.
Driving over people's houses, all that sort of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that was a Grinch, he would definitely just... crush your car.
It'd be crush your car.
Yeah.
That, instead of getting a lump of coal,
you got to
get your car
crushed.
Crushed
car. Yeah.
That's what it is. I love that. That's brilliant. Okay. Number two. Oh, dang it. I've done it to myself. Okay. I'm going to go with Mary Poppins' umbrella.
Okay.
Because as we have learned in the story of Mary Poppins, that umbrella can take you anywhere in the world. Santa's used to flying.
Sure.
Plus, I think if you get the umbrella, you definitely get the bag.
Yes.
And we were talking, I alluded to this earlier, is like the idea, like rather than when you see Polar Express, like that bag on the back of his sleigh, it's like, there's just so many toys in there. Well, imagine you could streamline it.
Yeah.
Get a Mary Poppins bag where, much like the trunk of your yellow cab idea, you just reach in, whatever gift is for that kid or those kids is just sitting right there in your little carpet bag, and boom. And I just love the idea of seeing Santa floating over towns, holding an umbrella with a little bird on the end.
Yeah. Would you want Santa to wear his traditional sort of big red coat and everything like that? Or would you want him to be more dapper?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Still in red and white, but like
I'm thinking, you know, much like when I saw Santa J. Claus on Dapper Day with his like all red suit with the patent leather shoes. Yeah. I'm thinking that, but maybe a little bit more of a hybrid of that and what Bert wears in Mary Poppins.
Sure.
So it feels more like working class
Santa,
but
like
it's
that.
Still red.
I like that.
Yeah, a little more grungy, like a deeper red. That's my number two.
I love it. All right, my number one is just a selfish pick. It's a Vespa, because I have a Vespa, and also Santa J. Claus has a Vespa, and he told me he loves to ride it around, so we know that this can work. Santa can ride a Vespa. Mine is red, so it's ready to go, and he can just swing by my house, borrow it for the night, you know. I just love the idea of like Santa, who's maybe a little bigger, you know, a little fuller in the midsection.
Yeah.
And he gets on this Vespa and it's just. I love how, not silly, silly is the wrong word, but quaint a Vespa is to ride around in.
Yes.
And I just think it'd be so fun to see Santa a little bit bigger than he should be on a red Vespa.
And would it be pulled by reindeer or would it just be able to
fly?
No,
it just flies. Yeah, but he'd land on the roof and kind of do a little side skid, like
hit the kickstand.
Yep.
And then would that little like case in the back,
yes,
that's where the gift
is. Yeah, that is sort of like the bag. It's just never ending and anything can come out of it. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I had some good ones I did.
I feel like this easily could have been a top 10. Because I have so many more. Maybe we'll have to bring it back next season. But if you want to hear our 10 through 6, come back later this week for the bonus episode. And the way to hear those is by becoming a paid subscriber on Apple or Spotify. Or you can become a member of our Patreon fam, the Christmas Countdown Crew, which not only gets you access to bonus episodes where you hear our 6 through 10 or 11 through 15, but you also get to be a part of the most merry corner of the internet. And if you join now, because this episode is coming out on the 18th, you will get to be a part of our live virtual recording for our finale, which is happening tomorrow the 19th and will air on Thursday the 22nd. So if you've been considering it, this is a good time to get in. You'll pay $5 for the month or whatever it is. You'll come join the virtual party. You'll get all the bonus episodes for an entire month. So you'll get all the content. All you got to pay is $5 measly bucks.
Amazing.
What a deal. All right. My number one, I have three that could easily win. Mm-hmm. They could easily win. But considering the musical that I just saw on Broadway, Back to the Future, I'm going DeLorean.
DeLorean.
And not, and I'm not talking about just like the DeLorean you see cruising around the boulevard or at car shows. I'm talking about Doc Brown's.
Yeah, with the DeLorean. Big afterburners.
100%. Powered by, we wouldn't need the plutonium. We do, because
there's still a flux capacitor.
There's still a flux capacitor, 100%. But I believe that the magic of Christmas can generate plenty of gigawatts.
Sure.
More than 1.21 gigawatts. I love the idea of like seeing Santa in that DeLorean, you know, cruising around, and maybe he's got a hoverboard with him.
Sure.
You know, and maybe that's how he like gets from like the DeLorean, or maybe it is the Back to the Future 2 DeLorean that is able to fly.
Sure, yeah.
And he says, "Where we're going, we don't need roads. We can't have roads. I got to fly through the sky. So I'm going Back to the Future 2 DeLorean." And I just love the idea of just seeing Santa cruising around. Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies of all time. And you talk about time, like that's always the greatest debate when it comes to Santa Claus is how does he do it?
Yeah.
How does he do it in one night?
Just keeps going back.
He's got a freaking time machine. He just keeps going back and back and back. Gives him plenty of time. He gets to cruise in style. And that's going to be my number one.
I love it. All right, folks, this was a fun list.
Tons of fun.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you have ideas of what you think that Santa should be riding in, make sure you send them in a message to us. Rate and review, follow us, all the things we always ask you. Folks, we are a mere week away from Christmas.
Wild.
So hopefully you're enjoying the season. Spend time with your family. Remember what's truly important at this time of year. And we're going to close it how we always do by saying Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
We will see you on the next one. The last one. Bye-bye.
See you guys.